Have you ever been asked to take the lowest place? It is the opposite of fun. It can happen in a lot of different forms. You're picked last for the pickup soccer game during recess that will only last 20 minutes and no one will remember the score later, but you will remember not being picked until the very end. Maybe you're passed up for a promotion at work, or you're publicly reprimanded for something you did or did not do. On a spiritual level, maybe you've fallen back into a vice that you thought you had conquered years ago. Regardless of the circumstances, taking the lower place, being humiliated, will come our way from time to time. Do we benefit from these moments, or do we let them pass us by? You see, humiliation sounds a lot like our key word for today's readings, humility. Unsurprisingly, they have the same root, the earth. The humus. Humus is just the Greco-Latin equivalent of adamah, from where we get the name Adam. Our first ancestor, if you recall from the second creation story, was created out of the mud of the earth and had life breathed into him. After he had eaten of the tree, God said to Adam, "You are dust, you are adamah, and unto dust you shall return." In other words, he says, you are a creature. You tried to become like God by taking something that was not yours. But I want you to recognize that you are not God. You did not make yourself, and without the life breath that I give you, you will become dust once more. Now, some folks can read this Genesis story, and they can read the story of their own lives, and they can reason, well, if I'm just dust, then there's nothing good about me, and I'm incapable of doing anything worthwhile. Everything I touch just turns to evil. Now, hopefully no one would say that to themselves in such a stark manner, but if we do reason that way from time to time, if we tend to view the world overly pessimistically, we might find a friend in Martin Luther, the ex-Augustinian monk who ended up starting the whole Protestant Revolution. You see, he thought that human nature was totally corrupt and incapable of doing good on its own. But we don't hold that as Catholics for the simple reason that we read the scriptures. At least, hopefully we do. We don't often get the best rep for that. We read in Genesis 1, God made them in his image and likeness. We also read that after God had created man, he saw that it was very good. Right? We recognize our creatureliness, but that doesn't mean that we beat ourselves up. That doesn't mean we see ourselves as totally corrupt. We've been created by God for God. We've been created to grow more and more like him each day with his grace. So Jesus' dinner guests, though, don't really suffer from this misunderstanding. They don't think too little of themselves. They think too much of themselves. They have vanity and pride on their side. In choosing places of honor, they signal that they think that they're more important than others around them. Now, in the spiritual life, what's the phrase, pride comes before the fall? Well, we should always be ready for a fall whenever we get a little bit too prideful, because God patiently and lovingly likes to knock us down a peg or two. He likes to remind ourselves, likes to remind us of our creatureliness when we grow too prideful or self-reliant. So rather than allowing humility to grow through humiliation, being forced to become more humble, which is frankly the harder path, it's more painful, we can opt to take the fast track to humility and take the lowest place on our own. By doing so, we open ourselves up to being invited to come up higher. Now, does humility mean thinking less of ourselves? Does it mean not striving for greatness or pursuing holiness with zeal? Of course not. In fact, humility is not thinking less of ourselves, putting ourselves down, but it's thinking of ourselves less. It's frankly being less preoccupied with us and more preoccupied with those around us, with God's glory, with the salvation of others. In fact, humility is one of the only surefire ways to grow closer to our Lord. You see, Jesus is not a stranger to humility. He humbled himself to take on our human nature. Let's pause for a moment. We celebrate that, or we commemorate that every day or every Sunday with the Creed, right? And he became man, right? And we bow at that moment as if to say, this was a truly humbling act by God himself. And we recognize that with our bodily posture. But he not only humiliated himself and humbled himself by coming down to earth, he who was infinite became finite, but he subjected himself to the humiliations of the cross for our redemption, for our salvation. And so to imitate him, paradoxically, means that in order to ascend, we have to first descend. We have to become less so that God can become more. But our desire for greater union with God should only grow as we grow in humility. This is because I don't trust in myself to get closer to God. I trust in God to bring me closer to him. Like Saint Therese, one of my favorite saints, she had this idea, this spirituality called spiritual childhood, right? The little way. And in this, she saw kind of her life to holiness as a really high and steep staircase up to perfection. And she saw other saints of her tradition, the Carmelites, ascending it with leaps and bounds, empowered by the love of God. But she said to herself, I just don't think that's me. I think I'm a little soul. I have great desires, but I don't know how I can actually go up there. And so she came to a realization one day in her prayer, and she said, it's not me that has to get me up there. It's actually God who's going to bring me up there. In order to get up there more quickly, I shouldn't become bigger and bigger. I should become smaller and smaller, humbler and humbler. Because I know that ultimately, the one who can most efficiently and most lovingly get me up the stairway to perfection is Jesus. It's his arms that can carry me as a father or a mother carries a little child, all the way up the staircase to places I could never go on my own. And so we allow God to do the work of holiness in us, rather than futilely trying to make ourselves holy. So taking the lowest place is not just a smart party trick to avoid social embarrassment. It's a straightforward path to show our trust in God and to grow closer to him. And so when we're given the chance to practice humility, say by putting someone else in front of us, by accepting a rebuke that may not be necessarily fair, we take that opportunity with a smile. When we're forced to swallow the bitter pill of humiliation, we don't mope and moan about our misfortune, but we try to understand how God is calling us to be closer to him, how he's calling us to be holier through this moment. Now, chances are, when we do so, he will come through and show us the way forward with love. If any of us needs a dose of humility, we only have to remember where we are. That just like our second reading says, we are on Mount Zion. Though we can't see them, the angels and the saints of the heavenly court surround us. All of our patrons and patronesses, those who have gone before us, stand mystically by the altar as Jesus himself performs the sacrifice and is the victim. I'm humbled every day to be able to celebrate Mass because I know that there's nothing that these hands can do on their own that could somehow bring God very really and very presently into the lives of his people. This is truly a moment to humble ourselves before the Almighty Father. That's why we kneel. It's a perfect sign of submission. And so, our message from today is pretty simple. Take the lower place, because it'll be eternally worth it.